Good morning and welcome to the Logic Sports Podcast from St. John's. I'm Nick Bonomo, and today with me is Cameron Johnson and Jay Harharan. How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good.
Doing well, Nick.
Excited to do this for the first time for St. John's, expanding a little bit.
Absolutely.
There we go. All right. Today we're going to get right into it, go to MLB. Obviously, it's come down to the wire for the NL. The AL's been set for a while. It's pretty obvious. I mean, the AL's going to be Boston, Houston, Cleveland, and then New York and Oakland in the wild card game. And then for the NL, so as of the time recording this, we have the Cubs at one, Atlanta as the 2 seed. That is obviously subject to change, though, because a half game behind them is Colorado for that 2 seed. And then a game behind the Colorado is the Dodgers in that division. And then currently the wild card one is the Brewers, and the wild card two is the Dodgers, with St. Louis being one game behind. So, what are you guys' playoff predictions so far?
For the AL, we got my Boston Red Sox. My team set the franchise record for amount of wins this year, and they're closing out this year with the Yankees on this upcoming weekend. And we got the Houston Astros, the only team I believe can beat the Red Sox in the playoffs. The Cleveland Indians, the Yankees, and the A's. I've really been surprised by the A's this year. They really came on strong over the summer, and they're a very good team, and people are writing them off. But I honestly believe they can go into Yankee Stadium and give the Yankees a run for their money in the wild card game.
Do you think they can beat the Yankees?
It's possible.
I mean,
it's possible.
Who do you think the Yankees are going to start for that wild card game?
Probably Severino.
Yeah, I can see Severino.
Hasn't he struggled a little bit second half of the year?
Kinda. But, I mean, I don't know. The Yankees as a team have kind of struggled the second half of the year.
Yeah. All right.
I remember the wild card game last year. Severino actually struggled against the Twins. In the opening inning, he gave up, what was it, two, three runs?
Yeah, it was two
in the
or
first
three.
Inning. Then the Yankees came back to win the game, obviously, and then take the Houston Astros to 7 games in the ALCS. But Severino was really rocky to start that game. Do the Yankees trust him, really, going into that wild card game?
I mean, he's their ace, so they got to trust him. I mean, if they don't play him, they're probably going to play Tanaka, but I couldn't see that happening.
I guess the Yankees win games by hitting home runs, and they're in their own stadium, so they shoot a couple fly balls, and it's the game, pretty much. What about you, Jay? Projections for AL?
I actually have a good feeling about the Astros this year. They have a lot of depth everywhere. They have great pitching rotation, great bats. They're underrated.
I think the Astros, I would have to go with the Astros to the AL. I think their hitting is too much. I understand, like, the Red Sox have just set this record, and just the pace they've been on the season is absolutely unthinkable, but I think the Astros, with their World Series experience, they're just going to go in, they're going to be even keeled the whole time. And they're gonna win games, and they're gonna win it pretty handily, I believe, in the AL.
Like I said, the Astros are the only team that I could see dethroning the Red Sox in the AL. I believe the ALCS matchup is gonna be the Red Sox and Astros. It'll be a very good series, obviously. I want to say the Red Sox will win. I think they can win. They have a much better chance than they did last year, where the Astros handled them in the ALDS. They have a better chance this year. However, I'm not 100% sold on the Red Sox. They still have problems in the order. The back half of the order isn't hitting well. They haven't produced all year. Outside of Chris Sale and David Price, who are their pitchers? Do they really have a solid third guy that can win you a third game on the road in Houston? These are just some answers that the Red Sox will have to prove that they can actually do it if they want to be a serious contender this year. While, on the other hand, the Astros already have these starting pitchers, and 1 through 9 in the Astros lineup can hit. So I don't know. For me, the ALCS is going to be the Red Sox and the Astros. It can go either way. I'd love to see a great series, possibly going 6 or 7. But in the NL, we're talking about this. This is one of the greatest playoff races I've seen in the NL for as long as I can remember.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
You just have so many teams competing for a certain amount of positions. These are all quality teams, too. There's not a team that's necessarily weaker than the other, but there are only so many spots in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just from the Cubs being the number one seed in the NL, I think at this point they have 92 wins. And then you go to St. Louis, who's only a game back, and I mean, they might be 6 or 7 games behind of the one seed, and they're not even in the playoffs.
Yeah,
which it's close.
It's that tight.
I mean, it's right now. If I had to look at the NL and I had to choose a team, I would have to go with the Cubs just because of their experience overall. I mean, they've been in the playoffs the past two, three years. They have a World Series under their belt. They understand what's going on, and they have the big bats. And if they can keep this home field advantage, Wrigley's a great place to have home field.
Yeah. The Cubs are a great team, I'm not going to lie. In the NL, they seem to be the most complete team with starting pitching. 1 through 9 in the order is really good. My sleeper team, however, in the National League is the Milwaukee Brewers. They have the NL MVP, Christian Yelich, in my opinion. Don't sleep on the Milwaukee Brewers coming out of the NL to compete with the team that comes out of the AL.
I respect that, definitely. Yeah, I don't see the Braves making a run. I think they were just in a poor division this year. The Rockies, I mean, the only reason they're in the lead right now is they just swept the Phillies, who have just completely fallen apart this year in the last month. The Dodgers have a lot of experience. They have a lot of they have a good mix of experience and young players. But at this point, I mean, they're not even guaranteed to make the playoffs. And then if they do, more than likely it's going to be a wild card game. They would have to get past that. So definitely I'm good with the Cubs. What do you think, Jay?
Yeah, I agree with that. I like the Cubs here.
So I'm thinking right now Houston versus Chicago World Series. Cam's got the, you think of Red Sox or Houston?
I want to say the Red Sox. It's either going to be the Red Sox or Houston. And I'm going to go with my dark horse, the Milwaukee Brewers. So my official prediction, Boston Red Sox, Milwaukee Brewers in the World Series.
Ooh. I respect that.
Red Sox win it in 7 at Fenway Park.
Oh, okay.
Jay?
I'd say...
Any hope in the Yankees for you?
I want to have hope, but like...
They did it last year. They made a run last year.
We did, but like... Didi's injury.
That's a tough injury. It's a tough injury.
Didi's like the glue of the team. I don't know. I don't think we can pull through in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So what do you got? What's your projection?
Yeah, I think I got Cubs, Astros in the World Series.
Alright. We're gonna transition now to the NFL this week, week 4 coming up. It's the first bye week for a couple teams. This is where the season is starting to really come together. You're gonna understand what your team really is this week. And there's definitely a couple teams that have underperformed and a couple teams that have overperformed. And in this first matchup, we're going to talk about, we're going to look at one team that's overperformed and one team that's underperformed, and that's the Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots. What are your thoughts on
which team do you think is underperformed and which team do you think is overperformed?
It's a hard guess right there. I don't know.
I actually like the Dolphins in this game. Call me a hater, but Ryan Tannehill has been playing some solid football this year.
You think he's going to go into Foxborough and win that game?
I mean, the Dolphins have been playing nice, solid football. They've been pulling out in close games, and I think the Patriots just don't have that, like, zip yet. I don't know what it is, but, like, they're missing something.
Unfortunately for the Dolphins, we have Mr. Flash coming this weekend. Josh Gordon is making his Patriots debut this weekend. Honestly, not being a Patriots fan, we've seen this show before. They started 1-2, 2-2. And they do this every year. They have their bumps in the beginning of the season, but then they all figure it out at the end. This game, the Dolphins are a decent team. They've had a hot start. They've gotten a couple of nice bounces here and there so far. Unfortunately, their lucky bounces are going to end this week in New England. I honestly have all the confidence in the world and the Patriots are going to pull this game off this weekend. I'm not worried yet, although the past 2 weeks have been very poor for the Patriots, losing in Jacksonville and then getting completely embarrassed by Matt Patricia and the Lions. But this week, the Patriots are back home. They're in New England. Josh Gordon's making his debut for the Patriots. I just don't see how the Dolphins can come in, especially against a motivated Patriots team that honestly is in a must-win situation. I just don't see the Dolphins coming in and beating the Patriots this week.
Yeah, the Patriots are going to handle the Dolphins this week. I have to admit it. Jay, I wish I could agree with you. As much as I dislike the Patriots, they're gonna handle the Dolphins. I got the Patriots winning 31-17.
Oh, we're giving score predictions?
Yes, too.
All right, I got Dolphins 24, Patriots 21.
I got the Patriots 35-24. That'll be the final.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a two-score game for the Pats. Moving on to the Texans and the Colts. The Texans are a team that had some big injuries last year. They were in a hot streak, lost to Deshaun Watson, lost J.J. Watt, and everything just kind of fell apart for them. This year, everyone had high expectations. Deshaun Watson coming out. I mean, when he went out last year, he was not only looking like the rookie of the year, he was also front-runner for the MVP. I mean, it was early, but he was. And so far this year, first game he struggled, second game he was okay, third game he looked pretty solid, but it was just a losing effort. What do you guys think about the Texans-Colts game coming up?
I think the Texans just need to be aggressive. Like, last year Deshaun Watson was slinging the rock a lot. Bill O'Brien's play calling this year has been, like, kind of poor in my opinion. Bill O'Brien just loves running it on, like, second and long. He'll run it on third and five sometimes. Like, I just don't like Bill O'Brien's play calling. It's not aggressive enough.
The Texans, they really disappointed me so far this year, starting off 0-3. I had high expectations. I know Deshaun Watson's coming off the ACL injury, and that's tough to come back from sometimes. However, the Texans have been disappointing. 0-3 is not what their fans were looking for to start the year. The Colts have been okay. They had a tough loss to the Eagles this past week,
mm-hmm.
and we all watched that game, obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for a breakout week here for Andrew Luck. If the Colts are trying to be a serious contender in the AFC South with Andrew Luck fully healthy, this is a good coming out game for Andrew Luck and the Colts to really assert themselves and try to establish themselves in the AFC South, where they're competing against the likes of Jacksonville and the Texans.
And the Titans.
The Titans have been playing all right this year so far.
Without a quarterback.
Yeah, Mariota's been hurt.
Yeah, I mean, Indianapolis is definitely they're a solid team. They've shown what they can do this year. I don't know what Andrew Luck is going to come out and play. It's going to be the Andrew Luck that's going to come out and throw 400 yards, 350, 400 yards, and three touchdowns. Or it's going to be the one that's going to throw 150 yards and, like, two, three picks. Obviously, he's still recovering from that shoulder injury. It didn't look like he was 100% last week. He threw a couple balls where, I mean, the ball was just floating out there on balls.
They even pulled him for the Hail Mary.
They were in tough conditions, though.
Yeah, it was raining.
It was pouring in Philadelphia, and they have a grass field out there, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, pulling him for the Hail Mary, I get it's early in the season. But still, if your quarterback can't throw the ball 50 yards at the end of the game, is he really 100% healthy?
Yeah, it definitely showed something. I mean, Andrew Luck, though, he can come back to that form where he took the Colts to the AFC Championship game. I mean, every year that he's been healthy, the Colts have made the playoffs. They also haven't had to face a team like Jacksonville with a defense that, I mean, hasn't been seen since the Broncos had that defense where
mm-hmm.
they took it to the Super Bowl. But I mean, the Colts are definitely a solid team. I got the Colts winning this week. I got the Texans falling to 0-4. I don't think they're going to be that good. I'm going to have the Colts winning 21-17, slightly low-scoring game. I think it'll be, you know, a strugglesome game for both teams.
Yeah, I agree. I have Colts winning 15-12.
Field goal game, Jay?
Yeah,
field goal game.
I understand that happens.
I'll say, yeah, the Colts are going to pull this game out. I'm expecting a big game from Andrew Luck, honestly. Like I said, this could be his breakout game. I'd say the Colts win this game 27-21 behind three touchdown passes from Andrew Luck.
Yeah. Now moving on to the Bears versus Fitzmagic.
Ooh.
Bears and the Bucks. I mean, can Fitzmagic do it again? He played very well last week in a losing effort. He threw those three picks in the first half, but, I mean, the second half he really settled down. Started slinging the ball. The Bucks are a solid team. As much as a lot of people don't want to admit it, they are a decent team. I think they can make a run for a wild card, and especially if, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with Jameis coming back. I really don't know.
I think they're going to bench him, but, like, That people forget that that Bucks offense has a lot of weapons. D-Jax is one of the fastest players in the league. He's Mike Evans is a top, you could say top five, top seven receiver. It's an argument, whatever. Cameron Brayton and O.J. Howard are arguably a top tight end duo.
Yeah.
And then Chris Godwin's an underrated receiver. He's had a touchdown in every game this season. Yeah. They're stacked on offense.
This is a compelling game for me because obviously the Bears, they have a great defense, but can Mitchell Trubisky turn it on? He hasn't done much this year. He's only thrown for just under 600 yards, 2 touchdowns through 3 weeks. That's just not good enough from a starting quarterback, your franchise quarterback. The Bears' defense is very good, but they obviously upgraded with Khalil Mack. He's a beast. And can they slow down Ryan Fitzpatrick? Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's almost thrown for 1.3K yards this year, 11 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 3 of which came last week. I don't know. I feel like this game is going to be a defensive game. I feel like Ryan Fitzpatrick may slow down a little bit this week, considering how good the Bears' defense is. However, like Jay said, the Bucks have a great offense. They built a great team of offensive weapons around Ryan Fitzpatrick, and he's really capitalized on that.
He's not afraid to throw the ball. He's not afraid put it up. I mean, he's had how many passes of more than 50 yards this year? At least three or four. And two against the Eagles. And
yeah, he had 2 against the Eagles.
75-yard plays. He doesn't care. He just throws it up.
I think he got, like, he got a little too confident last week when he was, like, trying to sling the rock. And when he, like, threw those picks.
That happens, though, when you just have that much confidence in your receivers, and you're just going to put it out there. I mean, I think he had one pick that was, like, a really badly overthrown ball. Yeah. But the other two weren't too bad. One was a tipped ball off the line.
And the pick six was kind of bad. But, yeah. There was a fumble. Like, that wasn't completely his fault.
Yeah. I understand.
If Ryan Fitzpatrick throws a pick or two this week, is Jameis Winston coming in this game?
No.
Ooh. I mean,
after the burner account incident, I don't think so.
He threw 3 picks early last week. I mean, it looked like they had full confidence still throwing the ball, still putting it up. And the Bucs didn't really seem to be too concerned last week when they went down in that hole. And you have to also remember, though, this game is in Chicago, which I think the Bears are going to make the Bucs play their game. It's going to be low scoring. It's going to be all defense.
I think it's going to be low scoring as well.
The Bears don't have a very good offense. I think they're going to run the ball a lot. Trubisky might throw for, barely 200 yards. Fitzpatrick's definitely going to throw a couple picks, I think, because the Bears are going to pressure him. Mack's going to get to him. Khalil Mack had a turnover in every game so far.
Mm-hmm.
As we saw in that last game against the Steelers, if you put pressure on Ryan Fitzpatrick, he'll throw the ball wherever.
Yeah,
how we threw those picks. The Steelers put a lot of pressure on him. The pocket collapsed, and he just threw it. That results in the 3 picks. So if the Bears can apply pressure on Ryan Fitzpatrick, look for him to throw a pick or two in this game.
I think the winner of this game is going to be the team that wins the turnover battle.
Yeah,
I understand that. I think for this game, it's going to be... I think the Bucks are going to pull this game out, even though it's in Chicago. I think Fitzpatrick will maybe struggle again in the first half like he did last game.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, teams are going to see what the Steelers did to make him struggle. They're going to try to replicate that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Bucks are going to make some, change some things up over halftime. And Fitzpatrick's going to, win the game. It's going to be low scoring, 17-14. And Bucks are gonna come out with that win. Go to 3-1.
I think we're in for a high scoring game. I don't think that stopping Fitzpatrick's offense is that easy. I'm actually feeling the Bears here.
Right.
I'm feeling the Bears. 28-24.
You think Trubisky's gonna put up some touchdowns?
No,
or think
it's gonna be some Tariq Cohen, Jordan Howard.
Understand that, yeah. Tariq Cohen's been, he's been a solid back this year. He's been a solid back for the past couple of years. They can pound the ball. Bucks do have a very good pass rushing defensive line. They have a decent, they're not great
run
defense, but they're a very good pass defensive team.
Who do I have? Honestly, this is a toss up for me. Like Jay said, whoever wins the turnover battle is going to win this game. Fitzmagic is all done after this game. I feel he's going to throw a pick or two in the first half, and then Jameis Winston's going to come in this game and then regain his role. as starting quarterback for the Bucks. It was a good run for Ryan Fitzpatrick. We all liked it. Fitzmagic, yeah, good, nice, loved it. But the Bears are going to win this game. It's going to be low scoring. I say the Bears win this game 21-17. Low scoring, lots of turnovers. Not a fun game to watch, honestly.
Definitely. I do agree. It's going to be a very boring turnover-ridden game. Now we're going to transition on to the NBA. And what everyone's talking about right now, those Tristan Thompson comments about the East. This just blows my mind. Tristan Thompson says, "We're still the four-time Eastern Conference champions, so until you take us down from that, teams ain't got much to say. Boston, Philly, they ain't got much to say. Boston had home court game 7 and lost. Philly, you guys almost got swept. Toronto, we know that story." I mean, these comments just blow my mind that Tristan Thompson has the audacity to come out and say this. I know he understands that wasn't the Cavs. That was LeBron. That team was the Cleveland LeBron. That's what it was.
Yeah, that was LeBron's team. I was at game 7 in Boston. And without LeBron James, the Cavaliers lose that game by 25 points. Tristan Thompson is right, though, four-time Eastern Conference champions. But if they do this year, that would be the story of maybe a decade.
That'd be insane. Because
without LeBron, the Cavaliers are not going anywhere this year. I doubt they even make the playoffs. And to come at the Celtics and the Sixers like this and Toronto, that just adds more fuel to these teams beating the Cavaliers. I mean, Tristan Thompson's he's a decent player, but he's not a great player who can just come out and say that we're still the team to beat, especially with the star power of these other teams. I mean,
I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second. Like, what do you want him to say? If I was a Cavs fan, the last thing I'd want to hear is, "Oh, I don't think we're going to make the playoffs this year."
But he's got to be more conservative than that.
He's got to be humble.
I don't think understand. So. Like, his personality isn't humble. We saw, like, with his argument with Draymond in the playoffs. He's not a conservative guy.
This is a guy that barely played up until the finals. On a team that LeBron hit two buzzer beaters on to even get them there. I mean, LeBron played nearly 40 minutes a game in the playoffs.
The game 7 in Boston, he played the whole game. They didn't take him out once. He played the whole game.
I don't understand where Tristan Thompson is coming with this. The Cavs, I don't think, are even going to make the playoffs this year unless Kevin Love comes out and decides to be that late 2010s or like or Kevin Love that
Kevin was. Yeah, the double-double machine.
The Kevin Love in Minnesota.
I don't see it. I don't think they're going to be a good team. Do you guys think they're going to even make the playoffs?
No.
I think there's a chance. The East is kind of weak. I don't think there are eight good teams in the East.
If they make the playoffs, they're not going to be in the top five. I could see them maybe slipping in the seventh or eighth seed, but then they'd get swept in the first round to either the Celtics, Raptors, or Sixers.
I think, Jay, to what you said, I think there's definitely eight teams better than the Cavs right now. Obviously, Sixers, Celtics, Toronto, Indiana, Miami even, Milwaukee. Yeah. Miami made the playoffs last year. They were a solid team.
If they get Jimmy Butler.
They might get Jimmy Butler.
Then yeah. But I don't know. I don't think Miami's better than Cleveland right now.
And then you still have Washington.
Washington's kind of a mess.
They're going to make the playoffs.
They
You're
are
adding
Don't
Dwight
make
Howard to that locker room.
They're going to make the playoffs.
They'll make the playoffs.
They're
going to
be a middle seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs. And then, you don't think Detroit's going to make a run this year? Seriously, I mean, they were supposed to be a middle of the Eastern Conference standings last year.
They were on the cusp last year of making the playoffs. Were they the ninth seed last year?
I think they do have Dwayne Casey. I want to see how they look with Dwayne Casey before I make a decision.
I mean, Dwayne Casey knows how to win in the regular season. That's all we know.
That's true.
All right. Now, moving on to LeBron. We're going to talk about LeBron and the Lakers.
L.A. Bron.
What are your guys' realistic expectations for the Lakers and LeBron this year?
I loved what they did in the offseason, but they're still the third best team in the West.
Yeah, I agree with
that. It's sad to say. They improved a ton. LeBron, just adding LeBron to that team, they still have Kuzma, Lonzo, they have Brandon Ingram. They're stacked everywhere, but, like, they're not better than the Warriors or Rockets.
Adding LeBron to that team immediately makes them a playoff team. No matter how you look at it, LeBron's going to take that team from being the bottom of the Western Conference to playoffs. Now, all these people who say that the Lakers are going to make the finals this year behind LeBron, LeBron's just going to defy all the odds and take this Lakers team to the finals. Reality check, it's not going to happen. There's a team called the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference that just added a guy named DeMarcus Cousins this past offseason to one of the greatest lineups of all time, and now adding DeMarcus makes this year's team maybe the greatest team ever assembled, at least starting five.
I think the Warriors last year had the greatest team ever, honestly.
They didn't even try till the Rocket series.
They didn't care. I mean, the Rockets came very close, give them credit. I mean, that was impressive. The Rockets aren't going to get that close this year. The Rockets, I don't know. I don't think Melo was that great of a signing. They're going to start Eric Gordon over him. He's a solid shooter, but I think it's going to be the Warriors easily winning the West. I think the ceiling for the Lakers is the Western Conference Finals. I would be very impressed if they even make it. I mean, LeBron can do crazy things. We saw what he did with the Cavs last year. I mean, beating the Celtics, even an injury-ridden Celtics, even though that was still insane. The Lakers are going to be a top four seed in the West, and they're going to have an okay run in the playoffs. They're not going to win anything big.
I see them losing either probably in the second round to the Warriors if they get the four or the five seed. They'll win their first series against a Utah or a San Antonio.
I don't know about that.
I see them winning that series.
Utah and San Antonio are two teams that could give some big upsets.
Those are two good teams. However, when LeBron wants to turn it on, he'll turn it on. LeBron can beat anyone when he wants to turn it on. You saw it in the finals a couple of years ago when he brought the Cavs down. He brought them back from 3-1 against the Warriors, and then went into Game 7 at Oracle and beat the Warriors. So when LeBron wants to turn it on, he'll turn it on.
All right. And now moving on to our final subject, the sleepers to make a run in the playoffs for the NBA. Not necessarily win, but just to make a run in general. Cam, what do you got for East?
In the East, a sleeper team in the East, the Milwaukee Bucks.
Ooh.
Although the Bucks lost Jabari Parker in this offseason, it's a tough loss. They have Giannis, who is a potential MVP candidate. They still have young guys who played well in the playoffs last year. Thon Maker played very well against the Celtics. He didn't start the whole series. John Henson was starting over him. However, he came in the second half of the series, and he really sparked the Bucks to do well. And they have Malcolm Brogdon still, Eric Bledsoe, Chris Middleton. So they have a solid team.
And they drafted DiVincenzo.
Yeah, they did draft DiVincenzo. So I wouldn't sleep on the Bucks. The Bucks are a force in the Eastern Conference this year.
They're definitely going to be a middle Eastern team. I mean, I don't know how well they're going to do regular season, but they're definitely a team with that star power that can make a run depending on how Giannis plays in playoffs.
You know what would be crazy? If Giannis got a jump shot.
I mean, he showed flashes of a mid-range last year. If he can extend that out a little bit over this offseason, we haven't really seen a lot of him work out with Kobe. Who knows? Maybe Kobe gave him his powers. Maybe he can shoot threes.
Maybe.
God knows. I don't know. What's your pick for the East, Jay?
The Nets.
Jay.
I'm kidding. As a diehard Nets fan, I'd love to say the Nets, but my real pick is the Pacers. The Pacers took LeBron and the Cavs to 7 games last year. I think a lot of people forgot that. And they just added Tyreek Evans. They brought back Thaddeus Young. They drafted Drew Holiday's brother, Aaron Holiday. I think they're building a pretty deep team, and no one's really considering them as a contender in the East, but they have a lot of talent. They can make something happen.
Oladipo could take that next step. I mean, he took a huge step last year.
He did, and not only that, but, like, if Miles Turner finally takes that step that we've been waiting for him to take, like, they have a lot of potential on that team.
He's definitely shown flashes. Last year, he struggled a little bit. 2 years ago, Miles Turner was a dominant center.
He was.
My pick for the East is going to be, well, my sleeper for the East, I should say, is going to be a team that's been getting disrespected in the past couple of years. No, it's not the Sixers. It is the Toronto Raptors. This team that has been told they can't win the playoffs because LeBron has just been murdering them for the past 4, 5, I don't even know how many years. Every year it seems they lose to the LeBron, though. But I think with Kawhi, if Kawhi shows he really wants to play and he wants to be in Toronto, they're going to be a very, very good team. Kyle Lowry, if he can stay consistent throughout the playoffs, he doesn't have to play great because now he has Kawhi as someone that he can rely on in the playoffs with experience, with a finals MVP under his belt. He can – the Raptors can do big things. They can – I think they right now are the second-best team in the East right behind the Celtics. And who knows? Maybe they can go into TD Garden, Game 7, and beat the Celtics. Who knows?
Kawhi's going to be laughing to the bank.
All right, Cam, your pick for the West, sleeper of the West.
Sleeper of the West, my MVP, or my rookie of the year, Donovan Mitchell for this past year. Although I say that they're probably going to lose to the Lakers, or at least that was my pick in the second round to lose to the Lakers. Donovan Mitchell's going to have a great year this year. He's going to prove that he's one of the top point guards in the Western Conference. People forget that they gave the Rockets a tough series last year. Donovan Mitchell really showed out. He showed that the Jazz are going to be a force to be reckoned with. Even though they lost Gordon Hayward to the Celtics, that didn't slow them down. They still have Joe Ingles. Rudy Gobert is poised for a big year. Derek Favors. I don't know. I see the Jazz. I really like the Jazz. I like their coach. I like Donovan Mitchell. I can see the Jazz really making a push in the playoffs this year.
I mean, yeah, they have a very balanced team. They have a very average team, I would put it, that has made some big steps in the past couple of years. Everyone thought they traded with Gordon Hayward. That was it for the Jazz. They were going to tank for a couple of years, but they came out swinging last year. They had a very solid year compared to what everyone expected.
The thing about the Jazz is, like, they get results through their defense, not their offense. So, Rubio's a solid guard. Gobert's probably top two best defensive centers in the league.
He's a great
center. They have a really solid defense. However, my sleeper pick, the Pelicans. I think the Pelicans could make a ton of noise this year.
Even after losing DeMarcus Cousins and Rondo?
Yeah, honestly, I think they looked better in the playoffs without Boogie. Mirotic plays well off of AD. Like, they have the high-low game going on.
Yeah.
Mirotic can pick and pop. They balance each other out well. And I think since Rondo's gone, they're going to put the ball in Drew Holiday's hands more.
He's going to take over point guard again for them, yeah, definitely. And he's going to – Drew Holiday has developed a shot over the past couple of years. He hasn't been bad. I mean, maybe he can put up – I mean, he's been playing shooting guard for the past – like, last year he only played shooting guard.
Mm-hmm. But back Rondo, in Philly, he played point guard, right?
He did, yes.
They also signed Julius Randle for chump change. What was it? 2 years, 2 years, $18 million.
That
was it? Yeah, it was 2 years, $18 million.
It's not bad. I mean,
he's coming off the bench. They have a solid front court.
They have a decent team. They can definitely make some noise. I don't know how far they're gonna make it. They'll make some noise. My pick for the West is gonna be a team that just completely disappointed last year in the playoffs, the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think this year Russell Westbrook is going to figure out a way to win. He's always been a great player by himself. He puts up all these stats, all these numbers, but the Thunder have never really done anything since KD left. They've just been, like, making the playoffs, and that's it. They don't win in the playoffs. But I think this year with Paul George really showing that his commitment to OKC, maybe he had an up-down year last year. I think this year really comes out and takes a lead role for that team. Last year he didn't really, like, looked like he wanted to be there. I was shocked that he even re-signed with them.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they can make some noise. I mean, they also got Dennis Schroeder coming off the bench now.
That's a good pickup.
That is a good pickup.
So, I mean, they can definitely make some noise, I think, in the West. I don't know how far they're going to make it. I think they can make a run. I don't think they're going to get well, they get swept by the Jazz last year.
No, it was 4-2, I think.
But the Jazz handled them in the playoffs.
Yeah, they did.
Like it was just over. Any last points, guys?
Yeah. All right. This is bonus content, extra sleeper. All right. The Grizzlies, don't sleep on the Grizzlies.
That's true. Mike Conley went out early last year, and that really derailed the Grizzlies. I remember they were supposed to be a 6, 7, 8 seed.
I think him
in the Western Conference.
Do something.
Not only that, Jaren Jackson Jr. looked nasty in the summer league.
He looked very good in the summer league.
I think
in
they
the
could,
summer league.
No, but we didn't think he had a shot. He put down, what was it? I think he had 8 threes in his first game. Like,
man, he played very well. That's true. I forgot about the Grizzlies. Mike Conley coming back is going to be a big plus for that team. People forgot how good he was when he was healthy. But him going out early last year really hurt the Grizzlies. That's why they got Jaren Jackson. Now they're adding Jaren Jackson to the he's going to be the third piece in the Marcus Saul, Mike Conley, Jaren Jackson trio.
And whenever Chandler Parsons wants to get out of the ambulance and play.
Whenever he wants to live up to the money that the Grizzlies forked over to him.
I mean, in the Western Conference, it's going to be tough. But I guess it's possible.
We'll see.
We'll see. All right, that's all we have for today. We'll be back next Friday. Enjoy your weekend and enjoy the first preseason NBA basketball of the year.
Been a pleasure, boys.